Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We are back. And we are live. It is Fight IQ presented by RotoWire. Here to talk UFC 288, the UFC Bantamweight Championship of the World on the line. The reigning, defending, undisputed, and don't you forget it, champion Aljamain Sterling taking on the returning Henry, maybe soon to be quadruple C, Cejudo. And our main event, our co-main event, is also five rounds, so I'm going to bill it up front too, because the UFC is billing it up front. It has to be a title eliminator. It is Gilbert Burns taking on Bilal. Remember the name Muhammad here on Fight IQ. I'm your host, go by Sniper MMA. With me, as always, the analyst, the co-host, the important guys of the show, Joe, better known as Sun Tzu, and Chris exclamation point. If you're watching on YouTube, you get the reference. Chris, you ready to go? You are cleaned up. I told you when I saw you, you were looking much less homeless. It's good to
see you. Yes. Like I said, you know, I took the pasta bowl out, put it over the head, snipped around, and voila, we have ourselves a haircut. As far as this card goes, I like it well enough, especially relative to the cards they've been putting out recently. We did lose two fights. We should say that off the top. So, yeah. As you said, Sean, we have actually a more manageable card now. 12 instead of 14. As long as we don't lose anymore, I think that's fine. And I think we have some good spots, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, unfortunately, we lost two really good fights. I'll recap before I kick to Joe. Rafael Estevam and Zhlagas Zhamagulov is off, and Daniel Santos, Johnny Munoz Jr. There's going to be a really good fight and a good fight for DK. That is also off, so make sure they're not in your lineups. Speaking of lineups, Joe, wearing the DraftKings hat, are you ready to go, Joe? I know you and me are going to be in the building. I'm excited to see you. How are you? You ready for the card?
Yeah, I mean, look, it took DraftKings a minute, but they finally got it right. I will be a guest of DraftKings, which is why I'm wearing the hat at the fights tomorrow night. Thank you, DraftKings. Hope to see some friends there. I'll tell you, we actually lost three fights. I mean, the one fight that really bothers me the most, in all honesty, I don't care about these two fights. I was really, really, really looking at Charles Oliveira plus 105 against Beneil Dariush. And I just absolutely love that play. And to me, that's the biggest loss of the entire card. I know we've got Burns and Bilal, but that to me isn't nearly as compelling as you know, Benny and Charles. So a little upset there, but look, it's going to be a good card. I hope that, you know, during the, 3 years off that Cejudo's had, that, you know, he's actually got to see a woman naked maybe during those 3 years, one time at least. So we'll see how that works. But yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
All right. Before we get into the card, a little bits of business to take care of. First, welcome to the YouTube and to the YouTube comment crowd. You guys are talking during fights. I'm watching the comments. I'll shout a few out. We'll have a little bit of fun here. So welcome the guys who just commented already. You're the ones I'm going to mention. Elliot Zero, the Invisible Man. Welcome, guys. Thanks for jumping in. If you're in chat, I know there's guys lurking. Welcome to you. We'll see you in there. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, RotoWire MMA. And anywhere you find, you listen to your podcast, RotoWire MMA, Fridays, the night before main event, we record focusing on DraftKings and in general podcast brought to you by RotoWire. Make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content, no credit card. required. Let's get into the fights. Got a good one to start with. Claudio Ribeiro, 8,900. He's taking on Joseph Holmes. He's at 7,300 on DraftKings. Ribeiro, minus 170. The comeback on Holmes is plus 145. I still think it's a good fight to target. I have a pretty strong, I think it's going to be an important one for DraftKings too, but I'll save my take for the end. And Chris, we will start with you.
Yeah, I like this fight a lot for DraftKings too. And Ribeiro, not really a guy, you know, you would expect to see at the UFC level. Kind of more. We have a couple guys. We have a couple guys on this card.
You guys all froze. We all froze, actually.
Oh, did we? All right. Well,
Joe's doing this move.
Strike a pose. Yeah. I don't. This is my. I wonder when Sean is going to call me an idiot next pose. I save it for this.
Well, if you pick Joseph Holmes, you got like 45 seconds.
I know. Well, thankfully, I've dodged a bullet here because what I was going to say is that Holmes, I probably don't dislike Holmes as much as you do. But what I would say about this fight is he works so slowly that I just think Ribeiro is going to swarm him and probably knock him out. You know, the Abdul Razak Al-Hassan wasn't a good fight for him because, you know, Al-Hassan hits just as hard, if not harder, and is a little more technical, and we saw what happened there. Joe Holmes can wrestle a little bit. We saw some good takedown defense from Ribeiro to Razak Al-Hassan, so not too worried about that. And I think Holmes is just going to get overwhelmed, so I'm picking Ribeiro and probably by knockout.
Joe.
Yeah, so I think it's very – we have to distinguish between a good fight and a fight important for DraftKings.
Right.
This is not a good fight. I mean, neither one of these guys are good. Neither one of these guys are UFC caliber. I mean, come on.
It's good in that it should end in violence.
Yeah. Well, like that's violence. I mean, the best thing about one of these fighters is their first name, as far as I'm concerned. You know, a guy who loses to Jamie Pickett. I mean, please. And then you've got Ribeiro, who, you know, scored 12.7 DraftKings points in the two rounds that he lasted in his last fight. At 8.9K, how do you trust that? Unfortunately, again, and maybe you have the numbers in front of you, Sean, the inside the distance line on this fight is pretty good, which is why this is a drafting show. If this was a betting show, we could probably skip over this fight. Or, I mean, I'm sure the does not go the distance is pretty juiced.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you get comfortable with the bet, but like in DraftKings, you know, you've got a fight with a high inside the distance probability. And you got to have some exposure. I mean, neither one of these guys makes sense individually when you're building lineups. Like they're both very inferior fighters. But what you have to do is you have to look at the fact that one of them is likely going to get a finish, which means you probably need exposure to both.
And -450, by the way.
What is it?
-450.
Yeah.
Under one and a half is -130.
Yeah. So Holmes at 7.3K. You know, definitely offers some value. I don't know that, you know, again, either one of these guys has even got the cardio. Probably Holmes has got the better cardio of the two. So if Ribeiro doesn't get it done early, I could see Holmes getting it done late. So unfortunately, as bad as these two fighters are, this fight could end up being very important for DraftKings. So I have to make a pick. You know, my pick is violence. I say, you know, put these guys in lineups simply because of the inside the distance prop. I guess if you're asking me for a pick, I'll go with the guy that's got three fights in the UFC, and I'll take Joseph Holmes.
I'm gonna go the other way because I do have a bet I like in this fight. I think Ribeiro is much better of the two. I do choose violence, and just Ribeiro inside the distance is -130. I'm toying with making that play. Ribeiro is, because another thing is they're going to go into decisions of who's going to win. I like Ribeiro, and now picking a guy to win by knockout at under 9,000 on this slate, when you got Chaos Williams at 95 and Movzar at 94, some little $500-$600 discount seems pretty tasty to me. So I do like Ribeiro as well, but I don't disagree with Holmes in terms of a GPP play because that inside the distance number is bananas, and you're not playing either one of these guys in cash games. because there is the argument for a double stack in cash this week, and 2/3 of your lineup is gone.
By the way, I think we all froze again, FYI.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. I didn't.
I think we're good.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just saw everybody go circles on the screen.
Oh, did you? Maybe you're freezing up only, Joe. Maybe
I don't know. I mean, I probably have at least the second best internet of the three of us on this pod.
Oh,
so.
Well, look who's bragging.
Second best out of three? I don't know that's bragging.
Well, okay. You know.
All right, back on track. I like Ribeiro. Yeah, whose internet's terrible, guys? Go comment.
I don't know, probably mine.
Next fight up, we got to talk about Ikram Aliaskarov. Ikram's 9,100. He's taking on Phil Hawes. He's 7,100. Line on this fight. Oh no, I got sucked into the Ribeiro inside the distance odds. Why did I have it closed? Good thing I'm an expert staller. Ikram, -190. Phil Hawes, +165. Joe, you're up first for this fight.
Okay, so this is Askarov versus – I'm sorry. This is Askarov versus Hawes, right?
Yes.
Aliaskarov.
Okay, so this is a Khabib-trained fighter. This is a Khabib-trained fighter, you know, versus Phil Hawes. It's really interesting because I heard someone say, and I'd be really interested to get your collective take on this, that D1 wrestling trumps Dagestani wrestling. I don't know if that's true. Like, I don't know that I totally buy into that. You know, Hawes is an athletic freak. I mean, he's got power in his hands. He's a D1 wrestler. I mean, he's got everything but the ability to you know, the fact that he's, you know, horizontally challenged. You know, that's the big issue with Hawes. I think Hawes is going to be popular at 7.1. He's 7.1K, right? I think Hawes is going to be really popular at 7.1K. You know, going against a Khabib-trained fighter, I do not know whether Khabib is actually going to be in the corner or not. He's got, and someone maybe in chat now, if Nan is listening, you know, Nan is the smartest guy that I know. Maybe Nan can kind of give us the statistic of when Khabib is in the corner, what his fighters' records are, because it is incredibly high percentage when Khabib is in the corner. So I think Hawes is going to be popular on DraftKings. I say you get some shares of him at 7.1K, but, you know, for a pick, and this is especially if Khabib is going to be in the corner, I'm going with the favorite.
As in my, I like Ikram as well. To your point about the wrestling, I would say it kind of over wrestling for wrestling. It depends who the competitors are. I don't see a difference either way.
That's a cop out. You got to pick one.
No,
it is D1 wrestling.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference in terms of takedown. I think the Dagestanis, because that wrestling and sambo, when they get taken down, they know how to get the fuck back up. D1 wrestlers, you put a D1 wrestler on their back, a lot of them look lost. So if you're making me pick between the two, I'll take the Dagestanis because they are a little more versatile on the ground in terms of the other background. But in terms of straight takedown for takedown, then it comes down to strength, and then it's even. The difference is when they get down.
For Dagestani, let's see what Chris has to say.
So I take Sean's point. I think that's a good point. But what I would also say is that I think the Dagestanis are better control grapplers once you're on the ground. I think the better shot wrestlers and takedowns are the American wrestlers. Could we even see it with Khabib? His accuracy rate wasn't anything special. It was like 45% or something. The way they get them is you know, being persistent about it and being up against the cage. So that would be my take there. I am going to be counted among people who really like Phil Hawes in this spot. Aliaskarov, for those people who don't know, the one loss on his record is accounted for by a hellacious knockout from our friend Khamzat Chimaev. Counter uppercut, just absolutely deaded him. One of the scarier knockouts I've seen, actually. And I think the reason that happens is because his defense is very less than perfect. When he jabs, he doesn't always bring his jab back. And Phil Hawes is very fast.
That was really a nice way to say shitty.
There is, well, and Hawes is defense also not perfect. I won't say shit again, but Very fast, very powerful, and we have to say 100% takedown defense rate in the octagon. Now, you can say he's never faced a wrestler like this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I get it. However, he didn't seem all that great with his takedown game in the Contender Series either. I think it was like the third or fourth shot that finally took. And with Phil Hawes, that might be a couple too many. As far as a Khabib-trained fighter, I mean, David Zawada armbarred one, so I don't know what that necessarily has to do with anything except to say
to find the one fighter that where Khabib was in the corner that lost.
Well, not one. Okay, Leo Santos knocked out another one. We can keep going. Or was it Adriano Martinez? I always get them confused. But anyway, so that's – I think Phil Hawes is great value here. I think – look, say what you want about the Ron Wynn. He's too small for the division, et cetera, et cetera. I really like the way Hawes looked in that fight. I like the way he was really mixing things up, using elbows on the inside. I thought really well that could come in handy here. I think that leg is going to be healed. It's been at least 6 months, right, since the Roman Dolice fight. And I like him here, especially against the guy who I don't think, again, is a particularly great shot wrestler and a guy who's never been taken down. I got to go with Phil here. So give me I'm going to hype to no hype. And take Phil Hawes.
Next fight up, let's talk Parker Porter, 8,600, taken on Braxton Smith at 7,600. A line on this fight, Porter's at minus 175, Braxton Smith at plus 145. I had a really strong take on this week earlier, really strong take on this fight earlier in the week. And it's still, Braxton Smith was one of my favorite underdogs in the card, and I still like him a little bit. Parker Porter is just recently back from a trip to the Shadow Realm. Like, he got knocked the fuck out 2 months ago, and it was a good knockout. I was making jokes like, did he see a dead relative recently? And like, in the knockout, and he's, you know, he's really anxious to go back and see him again because Braxton Smith is going to come forward and throw heat. And Parker Porter shows up in shape, recently got his BJJ black belt. I'm going, man, Parker Porter has to survive the early flurry from Braxton Smith and get a takedown. And if he does, he can win. I just don't think he does. And I was more confident in that earlier in the week. I'm still going to have plenty of Smith as one of my favorite GPP underdogs on the board because I do think he can get the 60-second bonus and break the slate as a dog. But I'm going to have more Porter than I originally intended because he does look good. He's got the wrestling upside. And it also helped out those fights we lost. I don't have to play as much Johnny Munoz, Daniel Santos, and some of those guys. I can move some of that ownership I was planning to the Parker Porter side. So I still like Braxton Smith, but I'm not as confident as it was like 3 days ago. Chris, you're first for this fight.
Yeah, so I understand heavyweight is bad and low-level heavyweight is even worse.
That being said, considering what you just said, just remember, guys, Greg Hardy's still working at a Walmart.
Right, that's true. Getting exactly what he deserves, in fact. But
but he's terrible, clearly.
But the reason I prefaced like that was because like I get what heavyweight is, but I still can't pick Braxton to win a fight at this level. I mean, the guy, it's a wonder he doesn't hurt something when he throws his punches. That's how wide. And reckless they are.
Oh, he does hurt stuff. He does.
He hurts stuff on other people, sure. But I'm surprised he doesn't pull muscles, I guess is what I should say. And look, that could absolutely, and Sean, you mentioned it, a bad knockout just coming off it is not the best when you're facing a big guy who's just going to throw heat. But a guy that's so sloppy, I can't pick him. I mean, obviously it's not the same because we're talking about vastly different weight classes. But it reminds me of Trevor Peak. Even though Trevor Peak won that fight, I don't feel bad for not picking him. I'll probably never pick that guy because he's just not – I just can't. He's throwing hammer fists to try to knock people out, and I just can't deal with it. And Braxton's just going to throw from – I was going to say his hip, but maybe more like his ankle and try to knock people out.
I want to see Braxton Smith versus Alexei Oleinik in a boxing match.
Oh, my goodness. No. Well, no. Like, we need to do jiu-jitsu, and then we can see it. But, you might not be able to take him down. He might just be a fire hydrant. I mean, the guy's body shape is kind of crazy.
No, that's true.
But
it's like trying to choke Volkanovski, no neck.
Yeah, exactly. But even so, like, I gotta trust Porter to be a little bit more composed. Let Smith burn through his gas in a round and a half, and then get this done. Like, he could obviously be knocked out. You obviously need to have shares of him. I can't pick him to win a fight. I'm very sorry. My pick is Parker Porter.
Wow. I don't want either one of these fighters. I really don't. Parker Porter coming back.
But you
back
need both.
Yeah, exactly.
Less than 3 months after a really bad knockout. That's a bad look. Again, this is like the first fight of the night. It's not a fight where you really want either one of these fighters, but it's a fight that you have to use in DraftKings because it's got a very high inside the distance prop. You know, like if you were going to pick two fights that were going to end inside the distance, it would likely be this fight and the first fight of the night, right? They both have really high inside the distance props. So despite the fact that you want neither one of these guys, and anyone who would be foolish enough to play any of these four fighters in cash, I would check their arms for needle marks. But, you know, this is not like, this is a pure GPP fight. You want to have.
I keep landing on Braxton.
What was that?
I keep landing on Braxton and I go,
you're going to land on Braxton because he's cheaper. I mean, it's right. Just, he's going to work better in build. But like what I would do is like, I don't even know if I want to hand build lineups with these guys. I might just go use the optimizer and just like dictate certain percentages of these guys that I want and see what comes out because I really, you know, I find it offensive that I actually have to put these guys by hand into lineups. That's how bad they are. So I'll take Parker Porter, but again, I don't want either one of these guys. The only reason I'm playing them is because of DraftKings. And I don't know if there's even like, if your parlay doesn't go with this fight, doesn't go with the first fight, that doesn't even get you to even, right? I mean, I guess we'll have to look at it, but you know, anyway, I'll give me Parker Porter, but this is a DraftKings GPP play.
All right, next fight up, let's talk Marina Rodriguez, 8,500, taking on Virna Jandihova at 7,700. Line on this fight, Marina's minus 130, Virna's plus 110. A little bit of line value here on Virna at just plus 110 and 7,700. Doesn't really matter, though, in this case, because there's no mid-range. The mid-range was all the fights that got canceled, and then the main and the co-main are all were the mid-range. So the line value it's not as impactful as it could have been. But that being said, I'm still picking Marina. I think Virna needs a takedown. I think we all know Virna needs a takedown, and we're just picking can she get it? I lean no. If you lean yes, then take Virna, and I don't think you're crazy. It is the epitome of striker versus grappler. And we're just, who's going to get a takedown? I think the fight is that simple, and I'll give me Marina. Joe.
Yeah, I am strongly on the other side here. I think Jandihova is going to be extremely popular. A lot of the other pods have been picking her to win pretty much unanimously. I mean, I think there's been a few outliers who are on Marina, which is why I think that Jandihova is going to be
I'm an outlier.
What? Yeah, you could be an outlier.
I'm an outlier.
Here's the thing. Like, Marina is not a great DraftKings play either. Like, you know, she tends not to score much when she wins. I love the line value. I think the line value is more significant than Sean believes it to be. I like the line value. I would not be surprised if this line actually went off at even by the time we get to the fight, just because of all the buzz that Jandihova is getting. At even, then maybe you want to take a flyer on Marina, but as a bet, not as a DraftKings play. That's what's great about DraftKings is the value doesn't change in terms of the salary. So you're already getting her at a pretty decent salary. The line value can improve, but the value is inherent to what the salary was when the lines came out. And these lines were out, if you guys realize, these lines were actually out on Saturday of last week. You know, these lines were out for this card. So they released the lines very early. So I like Jandihova here. I like her not only for the DraftKings line value, I like her to actually win the fight outright. And I also think she has a pretty solid floor. This is about as must of a play in cash as you could ever get.
Chris, you got?
So now I have a dilemma because I love Jandroba too, but I don't like to be on the side of the populace. So maybe I'll have to change it. No, I actually do like Jandroba quite a bit. And I like her because, like, look, she's not any kind of great striker, but she's not Mackenzie Dern either. Like, you can tell she's trying to get better. She bounces around. She feints. She kind of throws something that looks like a 1-2. And the one thing I will say about her that is actually very good, unlike fighters we'll see later, like Kron Gracie, who with these jiu-jitsu specialists, she actually has a decent wrestling game. It's not great. It's okay. It's better than a lot of the pure jiu-jitsu people that we see in the UFC. And one thing I would say about Marina, like, it's difficult to take her down. It can be. She was in a lot of trouble when she did get to the ground against Mackenzie Dern. She had to survive both of those rounds. Number two is she has a tendency to overswing and fall into the clinch. And I think that's really going to help Verna here. So I think Verna's just going to put on the pressure. I don't think Rodriguez can stave it off forever. Maybe the first round goes poorly. Maybe Verna takes control after that. Either way, my pick is Jandroba.
Let's go to the next fight. We're talking the most expensive fighter on the slate, Chaos Williams. He's 9,500, taking on Rolando Bedoya, UFC newcomer at 6,700. Chaos is minus 345. Bedoya is plus 285. I'm struggling with, look, we got to keep it tight for time. I'm usually the big component that we're running a little over. It's fine. So I don't want to overdo things, but I need to try and express to you how bad I think Rolando Bedoya is. I'll keep it short. He sucks.
And I compare this to a
I don't think he's good at all.
Oh, I thought you were going to break out a
song. Yeah, I could have. He's not good. If he wins, it's a real indictment against Chaos Williams. I think Chaos wins. It's a matter of the price here. I will say this. Despite the odds, I believe Chaos Williams to be a better GPP play than Movsar Evloev. That's taking into consideration what I believe the ownership will be and potential upside. I think people are going to lose sight of Chaos because of the Evloev late opponent switch. So take that for what it's worth. Chris, you're first.
Yeah, maybe like a semi-hot take then. I'm not sure because I expect him to win. But he fights so slowly, I'm not paying $9,400 for him a lot. I think that exactly. Thank you, Joe. And look, he's got an opponent who's going to come after him here. So that could help him with the counter shots. But he fights slowly enough to get behind on cards, too. We've seen it before where he's had to pull out third round knockouts. And
This fight, by the way, same under 1.5 prop as the opening fight, minus 130.
Which to me should not be correct because it's just he fights so slowly that if he doesn't get a first round knockout, you are cooked on the price there. He just doesn't throw any volume, and he might let the opponent get ahead of him on points before he finds the perfect counter shot. I don't know. I don't really want to chance it. I mean, I think that it might just be unless he gives you the first minute bonus, which he could. It could just be one and done after like 2 minutes, in which case he gets what? 101, which is fine for cash. I'm just not that into it. I think he wins the fight. He's not one of my major DFS plays today. So
yeah, I'm with you, Chris. I think Elo has got a higher floor, especially in cash. And I kind of like Elo more in cash. I am with
cash, yes.
CPPs. Cash, yes. You know, because of that point that you made, you kind of stole my thunder there. You know, the shot at getting that 1 minute bonus, right? You know, that would put him, you know, that would solidly, you know, put him up there, which would be kind of nice at 125. Right, which again might not be a slate breaker with some of these fights we have. You know, when you have two five round fights, But you're right. You're really going to have tongue in cheek if this fight goes into the second round, because he's a low volume fighter, because there's not going to be any grappling points. You know, you're going to have to need, you're going to need multiple knockdowns. And honestly, I don't see multiple knockdowns happening in this fight, unless it's the other guy knocking down Chaos. Right. Which again, I don't necessarily see happening, but yeah, you really do need an early finish for this to pay off, which is why I do see it more as a GPP play. But obviously, I'm picking Chaos. I mean, the UFC is setting him up here. I mean, how many grapplers has Chaos Williams fought?
I mean, you know,
a bunch.
Yeah. So this is a setup right, fight.
Let's now. Move on. Let's. Speaking of grappler, Devin Clark, he's an underdog, 7,200. He's taking on Kennedy Njikwu at 9,000 line on this fight. Kennedy's minus 176. Clark is plus 151. I think Kennedy does get the job done here, but there's a lot of live dogs in this card. I think Devin Clark is one of them. Joe, we were at a fight where we were like thinking, okay, this guy's going to finish Clark, and he can't. There's no way he can stand with him, and Devin Clark just took Mike Williams up against the cage and bullied the shit out of him for three rounds. I don't think he'll do that to Kennedy, but I've seen it before, and I've been very wrong. Not to, you know, obviously the level of MMA between Kennedy and Jake and the name I just had, and Mike Rodriguez is different. But Rodriguez is a good striker, and if Kennedy can't keep distance, get enough respect to keep distance, Clark's really live here. I actually like this fight a lot for GPPs because I think either Kennedy's going to hurt Clark and get a finish, or Clark is going to wrestle, fuck him, and at 7,200 will be an under-owned dog who I think is more alive than people are giving him credit for. So I like Kennedy, but I like this fight overall. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so is Clark going to be Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? I mean, he looked really good against the Iron Turtle. You know, that was not a performance that anyone expected. I think there's some recency bias in Clark's buzz as a potential dog here. I mean, Kennedy, I think, has most of the advantages. I mean, size not being, you know, not to mention size, reach, athleticism. I mean, you know, he's been training at Fortis. I think that's a good camp for him. You know, I'm going to pick Kennedy here. I understand why. Off of Clark's last performance, he's, you know, considered a live dog, and I'll have shares of him. And I do think this is a good fight for for GPPs. But you know, ask me who I'm picking to win. I'm going to pick Kennedy.
Chris.
So I actually love Kennedy in this spot, and it's because I've already seen him win this fight twice. He beat Danilo Marquez, and he beat Ian Gutelaba. Danilo Marquez, a way better submission grappler than Devin Clark. Ian Gutelaba, a better wrestler than Devin Clark. And he beat both of them.
Well, I don't agree with that second one.
Well, Ian Gutelaba out-wrestled Devin Clark, so how can you tell me no? They fought each other.
Pure wrestling? I have to go rewatch that. I think that I still think I have to go watch. I have to go rewatch that then.
Okay.
I don't remember that fight. I believe you, but on the surface, I would think Devin Clark's a better wrestler. Maybe not grappler, but a better pure wrestler.
Maybe like a better pure wrestler, but I guess MMA wrestling then you'd call it. I don't know, because the thing about Devin Clark is, and I like Devin Clark, I mean, if for light heavyweight, wrestlers are key, especially athletic ones. But the thing about Devin Clark is, one, he gets hurt all the time. Two, in the cage, I mean. And two, he's not a finisher. Literally one finish. That finisher, William Knight, there's only one in the UFC in 15 fights. So he's going to have to keep after and after and after. And Njikwu is not going to rest. Even when he gets taken down, he's going to get back up. He's going to get back up. He's going to get back up, as he's always done. He's a very different fighter now than he was when he let Paul Craig hang around and gave him a submission. He's more aggressive now. When he gets you hurt, he finishes you. I really like the direction he's going in. Wasn't the biggest fan of him when he first came in. Thought he was way too passive. Think he's worked on that, been a lot better about that lately. And I just can't trust Devin Clark to do his thing for 15 minutes. So, and I think this can happen even earlier than it would, because as I say, Devin Clark tends to get hurt quite a bit. So I'm taking Kennedy, and I like it.
All right, let's move on to the featured prelim, and it's going to be fun. It's Drew Dober, 9,200, taking on Matt Steamroller Frivola at 7,000. Line on this fight, Dober's minus 220, Frivola plus 185. Looking up, Violence is at minus 260 into the distance. That seems low to me. Look, I wish I had to go scour Frivola's Twitter, because last time before the Azatar fight, yeah, I was right. Begging him to grapple. He was like, no, I'm going to stand and bang. And I was like, that's a bad idea. And he won the fight because he can stand and bang. But I still think, and I maintain, the easier path to victory more often would have been wrestling him. And that's the same thing here. We've seen Drew Dober hurt time and time again, survive, finish people. Drew Dober can crack. I've made a lot of money on people underestimating Drew Dober. He is really good. I was actually surprised he's getting the respect here as the big favorite. I kind of expected this to be closer to a pick'em. I actually think the line's probably a little wide because I think they're going to end up just swanging and banging until one man falls and think Frivola is perfectly live in that type of fight. I wish Frivola would wrestle. I just don't think he's going. You telling me Frivola's got a wrestling game plan? I'd probably bet him in this spot. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to stand and trade. I think Dober's the better technical striker, so I got to go with Dober. This is one, though, I would touch in cash games. Super volatile. And GPP is another one to kind of load up on. There's a couple we can kind of – you can skate by in GPPs. This ain't one of them, though. This should be a lot of fun. Ultimately, I'll end up Dober, but fun fight. Chris, what you got?
Well, I got to take Frivola just because of what you mentioned. I think the line is way too wide. I think Frivola really showed us something in that Ottman fight where he can. I mean, I don't want him to do it too often, but he can stand in the pocket, and we don't have to worry that his head is just going to come off. And not only that, he can land the big shot. He can land the big counter shot. And Drew Dober, as you said, gets hit, gets hurt. As you also said, can be wrestled. So those two things together, and it's not like Frivola never wrestles. He should do it more often. But it's not like he never does it. So
yes.
So I really have to go Frivola here. Yes, he can send Dober can send him to land a winning ghost, but Frivola can do too many things, conducive to good scoring on DraftKings. Plus, I trust him more in the pocket than I would have a few months ago. That might be recency bias or whatever, but I was so convinced he was going to get his head taken off. It had to shape my opinion in some way. So I'm taking Frivola here. This is going to be a really fun fight, one of the ones I am looking for before the main card. And I have both sides, but my bet is Frivola.
I love Dober here. I think he's going to nuke Frivola. I don't think it matters whether Frivola wrestles or not. I mean, this is just – this is a different class for Frivola.
The hometown guy, Joe. Everyone's going to be real excited to see him.
Yeah, well, I love Dober in this spot. I think it's probably one of his easier fights that he's had in a while. I don't care what game plan Frivola comes. I'd be very shocked if Dober not only wins this fight, but if that Dober doesn't dominate this fight. I like Dober in all formats. I like him in cash. I like him in GPPs. I like him to roll here, pun intended. So give me all of the Dober I could fit. I like him everywhere. I like him in Rainmaker. I like him in DFS. I like him to win by finish on DraftKings Sportsbook. Give me all the Dober I can get. I will have shares, obviously, of Frivola, but I don't know what the market's going to be. I'll likely be underweight, but I will have some shares. But I really love Dober in this spot.
All right, I got to take a weird pause here for a commercial break. If you're listening to the RotoWire MMA podcast presented by Fight IQ, we'll be right back for more UFC 288.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, everybody on YouTube, you saw my really white, awkward dancing. We can now move on to the main card.
As I'm so glad you remembered. I thought I was worried you wouldn't.
What bills?
Thank you so much.
I'm glad to pay some bills. I don't know what bills because they ain't paying us enough or anything. Take that, Jake. Take that. You think Jake's listening to this and it's going to be like, dude, you can't say shit like that.
I think he's off. I think he's off today, so you're safe. But otherwise.
Hey, who wrote what? Jake, if you're listening to this, at any point you listen to this, it should be a message. I just testing something. And nobody help him. Nobody help him.
Yeah, all right, so let's talk. When RotoWire goes public, your IPO allocation just got cut, Sean.
Yeah.
So FYI.
Give it to me. That's all right.
Damn. Charles Air Jordan, 8,700, taking on Kron, the Ice Cream Man Gracie. I didn't know they served ice cream in a flat earth, but here we are. He's 7,500. Line on this fight. And make sure, like, not go back here. Fight. I opened up the last props in the last fight. Jordan, -170. Kron, +145. I think that's some violence here, too. Kron has not fought in 3 years. Jordan always brings the action. It's pretty simple, I think, either. Kron's going to find a takedown or he's going to go to sleep. It seems that simple to me. I am leaning on the side of Kron Gracie and the underdog because I think Jordan finds himself on his back way too often. It's an awful takedown defense. I think he's so aggressive he can fall into weird spots. And I think that's one takedown should be all it takes here. That being said, I'm definitely not fading Jordan because he could put Kron to sleep. But if we have to make picks here because apparently this is a pick podcast. And in addition to DFS, I will go with the ice cream flat earther. Joe, who you got?
So Gracie was one of the last fighters to weigh in, whatever that's worth. Also, Gracie has not only been gone for 3 years, he's been like living somewhere remotely, like farming quinoa or something like that. Like, I don't know that, the whole thought process is, well, Gracie's been gone for 3 years. He's been working on his striking, right? He's been getting better as a mixed martial artist. Unless someone can show me definitive proof of that, I'm going to assume he hasn't. And he's just been kind of living in a shack, again, growing quinoa. I'm going to take the fighter who's been more active. I understand that there's an issue if he gets this fighter to the ground, but like, I don't think, I think that was a highly diminished Cub Swanson that actually beat Gracie. And I think Jordan I don't think Jordan's a world beater. And I don't know that Jordan is going to be any better than he currently is today. But I think the Jordan of today is as good as the Cub Swanson is 3 years ago. So I can certainly, for that reason, I'm going to pick Jordan. But obviously you want to have some shares of Gracie. There is a defined path to victory. Jordan does not have the best takedown defense, so there's a lot of risk. I see this as a GPP fight. I'll take shares of both sides. I'll probably be at market, but picking a winner, I'm going to pick Jordan.
Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I think you have to pick Jordan and then just fill in for DFS where appropriate. This is kind of what I was talking about earlier. No takedown defense, but Kron Gracie's not a wrestler. And that's the problem. The submission he got, off of Caceres was a tie-up kickoff against the fence, which he could do here too, I guess. But it's like I can't rely on that when it was all. It's like how I never picked Mackenzie Dern. It was burning me for a while because her takedown accuracy rate is like literally 6%. And now as she gets higher up, it's burning her because she can't consistently get fights to the ground. And by the time she does, it's too late. I think it could be a similar thing here. Jordan, obviously, miles above on the feet. And I don't think he's like a dead fish on the ground. He's obviously not going to submit Kron Gracie. But I don't think that once this fight gets to the floor, it's just over. I think his jiu-jitsu is fine, at least enough to defend for a little while. So we'll see how that goes. But I can't trust the guy who we haven't seen in 3 years. And the last time we saw him, he was trading huge shots with Cub Swanson and really getting messed up. I can't trust that guy. I actually think Jourdain knocks him out. That's the path I would take. This fight is probably going to finish in some regard or another. I think it's going to be the kickboxer and the better overall mixed martial artist, actually. So I'm taking Charles Jourdain.
All right, let's go to the next fight. We have Mavzar Evloev, 9,400, taking on Diego Lopez, taking the fight on 5 days' notice since Bryce Mitchell's back and shoulder or whatever it was is purple. He's not going to fight, as it turns out, shockingly. Mavzar is a giant favorite. The line right now is minus 900. It's minus 1,000 in some places. Come back on Lopez plus 600. Mavzar's a grappler. Play him in cash or you're an idiot. GPP, I can see you getting underweight for because he's so expensive and everyone's going to own him. A little bit of game theory, but I don't know how cute you want to get. Mavzar here. That's the play. I'm not going to overcomplicate it. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, Mavzar. Lopez.
You wanted to pick Lopez. I know you did.
This was one because one thing that I really hate when somebody's fighting a wrestler is guys who spend too much time off their back working their guard. And that's going to be Lopes. He's gonna try to play jujitsu here, and it's either going to get him subbed or it's going to get him control timed or it's going to get him rinse and repeat takedown. I don't like him at all in this matchup. I think the short notice would have been bad enough, but then I think it's also a particularly bad matchup for him. Hits pretty hard, can do some decent body work, but like I don't think he has anything for Mavzar here. I probably won't be underweight in GPPs either. If other people won't go there, I will. I like him a lot. He will be my guy over Chaos Williams in that price bracket for sure. I'm taking Mavzar.
Now, Joe, last week, thankfully my single entry did well, but I was dead in GPPs because I didn't play any Russian Ronda. Is Diego Lopez going to Russian Rondas?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, here is the problem with, you know, what happened here. In cash, unless someone's, you know, been under a rock or is just not a good DraftKings player, this fight's going to be – it's going to be a wash. Elo's going to be a wash. So – it's going to come down to your other fighters in your lineup. And that's what you really need to focus on, right? Like, so if you assume that any intelligent player is going to play Elo in cash, make sure that you build your lineup, you know, with the idea that, you know, this fight's going to be a wash no matter what he scores. Now, for GPPs, I think there are really only two ways to play this. I mean, you pretty much have to hit all in, right? Or be very underweight to the market, because otherwise, again, he's going to be so highly owned. How are you going to differentiate yourself? You're going to differentiate yourself by either being over the market, which, again, depending on how many lineups you play, is essentially an all-in play, you know, or you have to be under the market. So for GPPs, that, you know, you've got to pick one way. I don't think being at market is going to give you any advantages at all. And if market is 60, then you have to play more than 60 or you have to play less than 60, right? I think that's the only way that you're going to get any leverage at all playing Elo. So I love Elo in this spot. I mean, I honestly
How much less do I have to play? Because I have a number.
I don't know. I wish that the original matchup was still on the table because, you know, the ownership wouldn't be where it is. So anyway, give me Elo.
Chris already went, sir.
Already went.
Really? I thought, what the?
You want to talk about this fight more? Can we move on?
Yeah, I do. I want Joe to answer me if my 40% of Loya is less.
No, 40% is too little.
Well, no, I
no, if he wants to go under, you say.
I have two options. You're saying you got to go under or over.
I say you got to go under. Yeah, I mean, I don't think 40% is under enough.
Not under enough.
I don't think so.
Like, if those are my two options, I choose under because I almost never play more than 60% of anybody. Like, that's the max I'll go.
See, now I know, like, Marley, you know, Big Marley, like, if he likes someone, you know, he'll plug them into 100 lineups. You know, like, Marley will play that way on occasion. Now, I don't know that he's doing this here. I don't have any inside knowledge, but I know that that's how, like, he'll do that. He'll just plug someone in that he really feels strongly about and say, and go, okay, I'm going to go all in on this guy. Right. So I think you really need to get different. If you're gonna, if you like Olev, you play him over market. If you want to differentiate yourself, you go 20%, 25% maybe.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, maybe. All right, let's talk about Jessica Andrade, 8,800, taking on Yan Xiaonan at 7,400. Andrade, minus 187. Come back on Yan, plus 162. Andrade just took a loss to the future champion of the world, Erin Blanchfield.
My girl.
And everyone seems to be hopping off her. I know Yan's look good, but I think this is a bounce back spot here for Andrade. I'm fine mixing Yan in, and you can consider her in cash, I guess, because I don't think Andrade is going to finish her necessarily. I don't love this fight for DraftKings. I'm not as high on Yan as everybody else is. So give me Andrade. Joe.
Yeah, look, I mean, Erin Blanchfield, I mean, I've been scouting her since she was in Invicta. I actually picked her to win in that fight. I did not expect Andrade to look that bad. Now, there's some rumor that she might have had an injury going into that fight, and she took the fight anyway. You know, this is a pretty quick bounce back. I'm assuming she's healthy. I also like, I like that Yan, and again, there's several Chinese fighters that train at Alpha Male, Song Yadong, who looked really good, better than I thought he would against Ricky Simone. I'm assuming that Yan is getting better here. And she's got a pretty impressive record as it stands. I think there's some real line value. I think there's some real value in Yan. I'm going to be playing her quite a bit in, you know, in GPPs. I also think she's got a pretty good floor in cash, and she's cheaper than Jan Roba. I picked for RotoWire, you know, earlier in the week, Andrade to win. I'll stay with that pick. I also have an interesting parlay, which I'm going to give out at the end of the show, that has Andrade winning by finish. So I'm going to go with Andrade here, but would I be surprised if Yan looks really good and even potentially wins? No. So I'll pick Andrade. It's not my strongest. I don't feel strongly about it, which is odd because she's a pretty significant favorite and she's a killer. But I think you play Andrade, you play her in GPPs. You mix in some Yan. I would not be surprised if Yan looked really good in this fight.
Right, clearly everybody is gone now. So I'm just kidding. Chris, who you got?
I'm not only am I forecasting a return of Andrade, but a return of wrestling Andrade. I think we see Andrade use her wrestling again here. Can't forget what Carlos Esparza did to Yan Xiaonan on the ground. Andrade used to be, her game used to just be take you down, beat you up. That was one of her defining performances against Carla Esparza. She's retired now. Claudia Gadelha. That was one of her defining performances. Take you down, beat you up. I think we're going to see a lot more of that here. I think the pressure is going to pay dividends as Xiaonan tries to skirt the outside and look for her shots. I think Andrade is going to find herself playing the bully way more effectively here than she has recently. I like her a lot in this spot. She's going to be in a lot of my GPPs and the cash games. I'm going Jessica Andrade. Anytime you can get her for under 9,000 as a favorite, I think it's a good day. So give me Andrade. And I would be remiss if I didn't show you all this. So.
Hair is almost combed.
almost.
Well, because I got that sort of compliment, I will show this to Joe too.
Alan is a good dude. Alan, Central Coast. Alan lives in one of the best places in the country, Central Coast, California. Alan, don't worry, I'm not gonna give away your city.
Yeah, let's not dox him, Joe.
Central Coast, California, beautiful, beautiful country. And he was such a good dude. He actually sent me some coffee. He went to Hawaii, and he sent me some coffee from Hawaii, which was really cool. For those of you that don't know, Hawaii has some of the best coffee in the world. So Alan's a good dude. And Alan, I got your DM. Good luck this weekend as well.
This is a lot of vagueness. I don't know what's happening. So let's just gonna move on here. Let's talk co-main event. Gilbert Burns, 8,200, taking on Bilal Muhammad at 8,000 line on this fight right now. Gilbert's minus 123. Bilal is plus 103. Look, I think in general, I think this is a good fight. I'm gonna do an oxymoron type thing here. I think Bilal is somewhat overrated at this point, but I think this is a good matchup for him in that I don't think Gilbert's going to be able to take Bilal down. And on the feet, I think Gilbert's a little bit too wild if that's what he's got to rely on. And I think Bilal will be able to box and touch him up. That's kind of how I think this is going to play out. It's hard to feel super confident at the co-main or main. That's why they're all pick 'em fights and super fun. You make me take a pick here, though. I'm going to go with Bilal. It is 5 rounds. So both the main and co-main, you have to consider the stack. I think I'd prefer the stack in the main. I'm toying with a double stack. I'm kind of...
No, do not double stack.
Where else could you go in the mid-range, Joe?
Well,
you get 5 rounds of action. This fight is... minus, where is it? Over 4.5 rounds is minus 140.
The Bilal-Gilbert fight could be very low scoring in aggregate.
True. You better be confident in your other picks. And there's enough wonkiness on this card where I can get a 5-round floor. I'm going to consider it. I'm not 100% doing it, but you have to consider a 5-round floor on this card with so many live dogs, my opinion.
Honestly, I don't like either fighter in cash personally, but...
I would probably prefer that. I'm just trying to pick a side here.
Time, so I'll be quiet until it's my turn.
I will go with Bilal in this one, and that's a weird thing to say because I think he's gotten a bit overhyped at this point. Chris, who you got?
It's funny because we agree on the pick, but we sort of disagree on the perception of the fighters. I was actually kind of bummed that I thought Bilal was going to be a bigger dog here, coming in on the short notice. Not as dominant a fighter as Gilbert Burns, who tears through everybody.
We agree. He's hyped up. He's overhyped at this point.
Burns has fought way better competition.
Right.
Right. Well, okay. But, yeah, I guess he has. But, the reason I'm – yeah, so I guess we do agree. But what I was trying to say is that, because I saw the line. I was like, wait, why is this so close? But – the reason I'm picking Bilal is because pretty simple, and there's a touch of this coming up later for me. But can you remember the last person Gilbert Burns beat that he couldn't out grapple? It may have been just Jason Sago when he knocked out Jason Sago in 2008, or no, it wasn't that long ago, but it was a long time ago. I just don't see how he wins if he can't out grapple his opponent. Kamaru Usman beat him with a jab, literally just a jab, and he was able to kind of get over on Hazmat, but that's because Hazmat is wild and not particularly good at defense. I love the leg kicks here from Bilal. I think they're going to pay dividends. I love that it's a 5-round, and Bilal's going to be able to use his cardio. And if Gilbert Burns can't hoss you around, I don't think he beats you as a high-level fighter. So I have to take Bilal Muhammad.
I like that you just said hoss him around. I like that expression. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so I'm going to take Burns. I mean, I do wish this was a 3-round fight and not a 5-round fight. I don't understand, other than the fact that they were trying to replace Benny versus Charles, why this had to be a 5-round fight. I thought a 3-round fight definitely favored Burns. I think the 5-round fight favors Muhammad a little bit. But I think Burns
could potentially. Title eliminators are into, by the way.
Yeah, I think Burns could potentially get it done in 3 rounds. I would get very nervous if I was on Burns and this fight got into a 4th round. But I'm going to take Burns here. I just think he's the more superior fighter pretty much everywhere. I like Burns. Obviously, was very impressed with him surviving versus Chimaev. That was a pretty impressive loss. But I like Burns here. I really do think that There's been a bit of, look, Muhammad's a very likable guy. I think there's been some hype, but I think the quality competition, and I think the better all-around fighter is Burns. So I'll take Burns here.
All right, guys, it's time to talk about the main event of the evening. Aljamain Sterling, 8,100, taking on Henry Cejudo at 8,100. It is a dead pick'em fight on DraftKings because it is a dead pick'em fight. Although, actually, since the last time I looked, lines moved a little bit. Henry Cejudo is a small favorite pretty much across the board. Minus 120 to even money. Minus 115, minus 105, that's a pick'em. Minus 120, minus 105, depending. I'm reading about different lines of different books. Minus 125, plus 100. You can get plus money on Aljamain Sterling in a couple different places. So take that for what it's worth. I've gone back and forth in this fight multiple times all week. I'm back on Henry Cejudo, but that could change by the hour. Great fight. It adds an extra layer of difficulty because you don't know what version of Henry Cejudo is going to show up. Is it the one we got who left? Aljamain Sterling has looked great, but he's been knocked out before. He's knocked out by a guy right before this current stretch. Marlon Moraes can't win a fight. Just cannot win a fight. And he's got a finish over Aljamain Sterling. Now, granted, it was that knee head kick deal, but I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this fight. I don't think... Can Henry Cejudo control Aljamain Sterling on the ground? Probably. I think he can. But on the feet, again, it's so close. I like Cejudo's boxing. Aljamain Sterling, you saw him throw it away against Peter Yan. There's so many intangibles in this fight that it's hard to kind of keep up with. This is a fight, I will say, I've got a couple other strong stands. I am washing my hands of this fight and that I am definitely stacking this in cash games, and I am definitely playing it about even on DraftKings. This is not a spot I'm going to take my stand. I'm going to decide what I want to do down there in the Parker Porter range and up top of Mobzar and run my lineups. This is not a place I'm going to take a stand. So hopefully these guys can give you all a little more help. Joe, we'll start with you for the main event.
Yeah, I'm on Sterling here. I like the size advantage. I like the frequency of competition. I like the quality of competition. I like Sterling. I mean, when I give you my parlay at the end of this shortly, you know, you'll see. I like Sterling to win here. I actually like him to win by finish. Give me Sterling here. I will have shares of Cejudo. I am not stacking this fight in cash. I'm going in a different direction, but I like Sterling a bit here. I like this fight more than I like the other five-round fight. I'm more confident in Sterling than I am in Burns. But let's see what happens. There was apparently a confrontation at the hotel between Sterling and Cejudo camps. So that's kind of interesting.
There's always a confrontation.
Yeah, I like that this is essentially a home fight for Sterling. I mean, he trains with Sierra Longo in Long Island. This is in New Jersey, there's no travel, there's no adapting. Cejudo's coming from the West Coast. He's part of Fight Ready, good camp with Santino DeFranco, and Eddie Cha. I'm sure he's going to be prepared, but, he has been training wrestlers. So I expect him to be in shape. I expect his cardio to be on point, but I just think Sterling is the better fighter. So give me Sterling here.
Chris, take us home.
So I'm going to go almost in the exact opposite direction. Whereas Joe likes the size of Sterling, I like the speed of Henry Cejudo. I think it's going to get it done. I like the leg kicks of Henry Cejudo. And kind of what I said about Burns applies here, where it's like, when's the last time you saw Aljamain Sterling win a high-level fight when he couldn't out-grapple the person he was fighting? Because I can't recall one. I don't think he's going to be able to outgrapple Henry Cejudo.
Finish Peter Yan on the feet in the fourth round. What are you talking about?
What a finish it was. The only finish that occurred because somebody got their head smashed in.
He finished him on the feet. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's true. Well, no.
I don't recall the rest of that fight.
You are technically correct. The best kind of correct. I think that Henry is going to have more advantage. I'm the kind of guy, I always favor speed over power if the speed is significant enough, and I think it will be here. And I think that the length isn't going to be enough because I think Henry's going to find his way inside, and I think Henry is good in the clinch if it gets there, and his takedown defense has been pretty legendary, his fights with Joe Benavidez, et cetera, so I think that if Sterling can't grapple you, I just don't really see where he's dangerous, and I don't think he's going to be able to successfully grapple here. Thus, I have to take Henry Cejudo.
Does he then go up and beat Volkanovski? Is that what's going to happen?
What, the quadruple C?
Exactly. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. All right, guys. That's what we got for the UFC 288 breakdown. Hot takes time. If you're a first-time listener or watcher, first of all, welcome. Where the hell you been? Hit the like button. Subscribe to the channel on the podcast. This is the part of the show where we tell you something unlikely we expect to happen. If you're on YouTube now and watching live, give us a type. Type something in. We will share. I'll share a few of my favorites. I'll pick. I have the power here, although Chris can click on whatever he wants. But usually if I say
I'm a benevolent dictator. You can go ahead.
He has to bring it up. So let us know if you got any. While you guys think, we will spit out ours. Joe, the fellow degenerate that he is, has got to have a parlay for us.
I have it.
Away, big guy.
I'm calling this the Jason parlay, from the gentleman who I'm tailing. It is Sterling to win by submission, plus 400. Jessica Andrade to win by KO, TKO, DQ, or submission, plus 165. And Bilal Muhammad to win by decision. That will pay you 38.75 to 1.
Wait, didn't you pick Gilbert Burns?
What? Yeah, it doesn't Gilbert matter. Burns? This is a parlay. It doesn't matter who you pick to win.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think if Bilal wins, he'll win by decision. So
right.
That's plus 200. So that will pay you again 38.75 to 1.
My hot take for the day is that Braxton Smith swings from his ankles and knocks Parker Porter out inside of 30 seconds.
He will knock his head into the first row if he connects.
It'll if be he connects, exactly. I mean, I'm gambling. We love to gamble here. He's going to swing from his ankle. If he's going to land, I think he's going to land, and Parker Porter is going to visit his dead relatives.
It will be something. I'm going to give you guys a twofer or a threefer, depending on how you look at it. Jandroba by submission, which last I checked was plus 450. And a pretty hot one that doesn't have to do with fighters because I give you guys fighters all the time. But let's go DK. Let's go DFS here. Neither of the five-round fights will end up on the optimal lineup.
Oh, buddy.
That'd be interesting. Yes, I could see that happening, though. I really could.
That's a
good hot take, actually.
Ha, 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 ha,
I don't bring the slouchers, guys. You know me.
I could see that happening. I really could. There are just too many better inside the distance fights out there, so I could certainly see that happening.
All right. Nobody in YouTube? Come on, guys. Fire something at me. Anything. Maybe bring up the comment again. This is Chris's hair.
Non-usually has a hot take.
I don't think so. Let's get a joke take at least. So tell me something about like an eye poke. It's gonna finish a fight or something.
That's not funny. You know what? I actually have a good okay. So this fight, something fluke is gonna happen because I'm gonna be in attendance. So we're gonna quick story time before we get out of here. So if you haven't seen in my office, I have posters you can kind of see up here of all the fights I've attended. So I will be getting another one from this fight. The one I don't have up right now, which one is missing? There's one missing. At the moment, I can't remember which one it is. Shit. Well, the ones I have right now, I have Cejudo Dillashaw, where Cejudo wins in 20 seconds. We got Adesanya Pereira, the first one. Oh, I know which one is missing. Fuck, because I have to talk about it again. So the first Adesanya Pereira fight, where Adesanya was winning the whole time and Pereira pulls victory from the jaws of defeat. I got the Adesanya Cannonier fight, which sucked.
Yes, it did.
And that's one of the curses. I think the Cerruto one counts as a curse because we were all expecting a great fight, ended in 10 seconds. It was anticlimactic. We got Habib, Tony, or yeah, that fight happened. Instead, I watched Habib Maul Ali Kenta. And then over here, I got Cormier, Derek Lewis, where Cormier, I don't remember this, the line dropped on Cormier over a dollar on fight day because he blew his back out and beat Derek Lewis with a bad back. So something, when I attend fights, fucked up happens.
Well, first of all, I have to take issue with something you said. I don't know if you listened to Joe Rogan call that fight, but Ali Aquinta almost beat Habib. And that was how we knew that Connor was going to beat Khabib, too.
Oh, I don't want to talk about this. We were second row for that, thinking it's pay up, marquee fight.
Joe Rogan was high on horse urine during that fight. I can't
blame him. He's got to watch.
That was the start of a long decline for.
But my hot take is something bizarre is happening in this Cerruto story.
So let's wrap this up. I need to have dinner and actually work on some.
I
need to pull out my. I need to pull out the canceled fighters and remake some Rainmaker lineups. So
So we got to get out of here so Joe can work on his lineups.
That's right.
As soon as we do that, guys, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Follow all of us on Twitter. Thank you guys for joining us. Joe and Chris, thank you for your great analysis. And Chris, thanks for not saying anything ridiculous this week.
Nothing too crazy. You know, I try to get in at least one or two. I'm falling behind. I apologize. There'll be some really wacky stuff next month, I swear.
Awesome. Sounds great. I will see you guys next time. Thank you guys for joining us. That's what we got for Fight IQ.
Peace. Thanks, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.